cousin arrived. His name was Archie. He had very narrow shoulders, and Sarah suspected he did something to his whiskers. They were that curly. I'll have a hot bath and a lie down before tea, was the first thing Archie said, even before he said, hello, a nice place you've got here, which he never did say. Cyrus's mouth hung open in wonderment. He led him to the horse trough. Cold, Archie shuddered. But what diction, thought Cyrus, even though he was crushed, and what elegant airs he has. Cyrus's nerves were frayed. And what fashionable clothes. Cyrus knew it wasn't going to work out. And a cane, he noticed. His eyes were popping. Have some dried peas, stammered Cyrus. I raised them myself. Archie brushed them aside. He yawned. No pâté de foie gras, he asked. No, I just speak English, said Cyrus. But we're going to have a square dance, though, and apple cider. And they did. Honor your partners. Honor your corners. Mice to the center, and away we go. 10 little mice under the floor. Ooh, square dancing like never before. Promenade your partner in calico. Tell the major partner.
Step right up and do-fee-do.
10 little mice with a whackety-whack. They sashay up and they sashay back. Ten little mice with a whackety whack. Oh, they sashay up and they sashay back. Mice swing out. Mice swing in. The other way. And you're right again. And I'll step right up. And a do-si-do. Oh, now hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, and don't be slow. Archie scarcely noticed the guests, and he wouldn't square dance. He wouldn't roam, and he sulked because no one would do the tango. Mouse hospitality was in high, but it rode right on over Archie's head. The more bored Archie became, the harder they tried to entertain him. They laughed and they danced louder and faster. Soon the music was deafening, the barn was bedlam. At the height of the din, Boots appeared. The fiddler spied him first and called the caller, and the caller called, run for your lives! Cat! And that barn was cleared of every guest before you could say Jack Robinson, or Jack even. Boots crouched and fixed his gaze on Archie. Archie froze and his whiskers uncurled. He didn't look bored anymore. Boo, said Boots. Somehow Archie moved. He moved fast. He moved right on back to the city. He left his cane and vest. Boots purred and grinned a sheepish grin, which is hard for a cat. You've been catnipping, said Cyrus, the beginning of a bicker in his voice. I nearly mouse-nipped, said Boots, and I wish I had. Cyrus looked shocked, and Boots apologized. But did you notice his watch chain? You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, or make a city creature happy in the country, or vice versa, said Boots. Oh, I don't know, said Cyrus. I think I'd like the city. Stay where you're happy, said Boots. Why, asked Cyrus. And then the bickering began in earnest. Before he went to bed that night, while Boots was catnapping, Cyrus tried on his cousin's fancy vest, and he tiptoed up and down the floorboard, swinging his cane. Boots watched him through half-closed eyes. Finally, Cyrus crawled into the hay. He dreamed he was a fancy city mouse smack in the middle of the city. And Boots knew, though he didn't say anything, that Cyrus would never be happy until he had tried on the city for size. Any night now, Boots figured, Cyrus would slip out while he was catnapping. As a cat, he could understand Cyrus's feeling of curiosity. Well, I only hope Cousin Archie isn't too surprised. And that night, he did. Slip out, that is. And Archie was. Surprised, that is. fact, he didn't even know him. He was about to close the door in his face. "It's Cyrus," wailed Cyrus, "your city cousin from the country." And before his surprised cousin could say, "Come in," if he had been going to say it, Cyrus was. What he saw overwhelmed him, the magnificence of Archie's home. Soft lounging pads, little bowls of cheese snacks, and a whole closet full of fancy vests. He just sat down on the soft carpet and stared. He looked pretty unmovable sitting there, so Archie decided not to move him. Besides, he thought, he is my cousin. "What would you care to do first?" asked Archie, the perfect host. "Ride up and down in the elevator," said Cyrus, "and then later on meet some artistic mice." Well, that night, Archie gave a big party. Cyrus was in seventh heaven, with his mouth full of caviar. Dried peas seemed so far away. And he talked city talk with city mice, word for word, making fun of the country. "Let's all go to my studio for bacon and eggs," a mouse said. Cyrus was trying to keep up, scurrying down side streets, scampering down alleys. And here they were at the docks. He heard the dismal blowing of a boat horn, and then a lot of squealing. It was very foggy. Cyrus was lost. And then he felt himself grabbed by the hind legs. Some dirty wharf rats took his pocketbook and they hit him on the head. And they pushed him in the water. He crawled out shaking and half drowned and slunk through the back alleys of the city, hungry and afraid. And then he saw two yellow eyes staring at him out of the darkness. "Boots," he cried. "Boots, my old Aunt Harriet," snarled an alley cat, a lean, hungry, mangy, killer alley cat. Well, Cyrus was just too tired to run. He was too tired to care. So far away from home to die such a lowly death. The alley cat snarled and reached out a dirty, sharp claw. Suddenly, from behind his head, a mighty meow. And he saw the look of utter terror on the alley cat's face. And then the alley cat fled for his very life. Slowly, Cyrus turned around. "Boo," said Boots. Well, Cyrus didn't say anything. Not for quite a while. And then, "Too much city living," he said. "I've come to lead you home." Cyrus sighed. "I don't have to be led," he said. "I want to come home." "Some creatures don't know when they're well off," said Boots. "I do," said Cyrus. "Oh, I do. A leopard can't change his spots," Boots tried again. "You're absolutely right," said Cyrus. Boots stopped and turned around. "Aren't we even going to bicker?" he asked disgustedly. "I'm sorry," said Cyrus. "I guess I'm just pooped." "Here, grab my tail," said Boots. "We'll be home in a jiffy."